Hey there, I'm your good friend Casey, and you are listening to So Here's the Story podcast, where we tell good God stories. We get to look back at our lives and look at parts that maybe didn't look so good, but we realize in retrospect, not only were they good, but God was in it. So listen, grab something to drink, find a comfortable spot, and listen to So Here's the Story podcast. So, hey, I am Casey. I am the primary storyteller here at So Here's the Story podcast, where we tell good God stories. If this is your first episode, first of all, welcome. I am glad you are here. Just the process of recording these episodes and sharing these stories has been, very vulnerable. Let's call a thing a thing. Extremely. I still feel like every single night before I'm going to have to like upload these, I'm just going to like press the button and lay down and just do it. But I have honestly seen what is the heart of this platform. I've seen the God in these stories. I've seen the God in being able to share them with you. I've even seen the God in you having an opportunity to respond and tell me yours. It's vulnerable and it's scary, but it is still good. And honestly, I say this in every episode in some kind of way, and it's because it's true. That really is the point of this, that you can look back at your life, you can look in the life that you're living now and see the good in it. And not because it's perfect and not because things have gone exactly the way you want them to go and not because everything is, you know, photographable and picture, like not because of that, but because I genuinely believe that God is in our story. And it's not just the beautiful chapters, and it's not just the ones that you want to put on a magazine. Sometimes it's the ones that aren't so great. I know for me, one of the things I've been thinking about significantly over probably the last 12 to 18 months over the last year is what it means to be a Christian storyteller, what it means to be a person who is in diverse spaces a lot, what it means to be a person of color inside of a community of faith. and that has created a lot of thought and sometimes even tension for me trying to reconcile both of those things together. And so maybe if you know me, then you know this difference. If this is your first time seeing me, then this is not different to you at all. But one of the biggest physical changes that I've made in the last year and a half is locking my hair. And so little known fact, I was probably locking my hair for, I'm now at maybe 4 years now. And I was like, what? Then where's the wavy? Da, 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 da. So let's talk about the world of wigs, huh? Shall we? So when I first decided to lock my hair, I was, of course, still traveling as a worship artist and leading people in worship and teaching about worship. And one of the things that happens, if you are an artist, you know how this works. But if you're not an artist or not a musical artist, maybe not. One of the things that we talk about when you're putting out a record or you're putting out anything is continuity. So that basically means is the pictures that they take for you on your album cover, or whatever, you need to look something like that when people see you in real life. So if you take your picture for your album cover and your head is shaved, the next time people see you, they're going to be looking for a bald head. So you may have to keep that for a certain period of time. So every time we have a record, we're thinking about, okay, what's the look? What's a look that we can maintain? And I've gone through a few iterations. I have to tell you the truth. The first one, I had the side of my head shaved, and then I had like twists or braids. That was great for a while. And then I think I shaved the other side too. Then the braids got blonde and they got real long. Then I found wigs. Why had no one ever told me that you could wake up at 7:30 and look like something by 7:32 and it could be in your suitcase? You could take it out and shake it and then you look presentable. So I was like, sign me up. Wigs. Yes, I would like to be a part of that. And so that's what I did for the most part. In fact, honestly, the wigs, the hair, all of that started to really become a part of my identity. So if someone was looking for Casey J, they were looking for some type of textured, long, light hair brown face. Like, that was kind of the way you knew it was me. And in fact, it was funny. I went to this church, and one of the, I forget which church it was, one of the Carolinas, and I had led worship, all those types of things. And me and my team were leaving to go right to the airport to fly to the next city. And so we all, once we got done, once we did like a meet and greet, and when there were merch tables and all of those things, this is all pre-COVID, child. We were, you know, you could hug the people and kiss the babies and all of those things. We were doing that. So we had done all of that. Most everyone had pretty much left the church. And so we went back and got dressed in, you know, our casual stuff, stuff we want to wear to travel in, sweatpants, all the things. And I'm the only girl usually traveling with us. So for me, that meant I took my wig off and put it in the suitcase because I am not flying with a hot, wigs are hot. I don't know if anyone's ever told you, your head is hot, it's hot under there. So I had taken off my wig and I just had my natural hair. So we're walking out of the door and this lady runs up to me and she says, "Oh my gosh, Casey, I was serving. You know, I would really love to take a picture." And the pastor, who I love, like jumps in and he's like, "I know you're not taking a picture now. She is not taking a picture. She's headed to the airport. Don't you see? She's already taken all of her stuff off. She got her KCJ in her suitcase." He was talking about my hair. Baby, he said I had put my KCJ in my suitcase. I could not stop laughing. I mean, it ended up being cool. I took a picture with her. But I realized in that moment that people associated KCJ, which is the name that I use when I'm singing and other stuff like that, with a particular thing. And so what God had really been dealing with me on over the last like 16 months is how much of that had I internalized? How much of that was true about me? How big was the space between Casey and KCJ? KCJ has long, blonde, curly hair or whatever. Sometimes it was straight or whatever. And one of the things that I really had to reconcile is how much of the imagery that I put out in the world was based off of this idea of being accepted. Something that's unique about the ministry that God has really graced me to do is that I get a chance to minister with and to all kinds of people. Sometimes they look like me, sometimes they don't. I frequent spaces. I'll go to churches where there's all brown faces. I'll go to churches where there's no brown faces. Like I'm in all of these different places. And I think that God has intentionally called me to that. But one of the things that I realized that I wrestled with internally, no one had said anything to me. No one had pulled me to the side or anything like that, but that I didn't want to be too Black. And so me and my friends have a word for this. We call it safe Black. So it's Black enough that people know you're Black, but not too Black that it'll alarm anyone. And that had somehow crept into my presentation. What would people think if my hair was locked? I didn't want my hair to be too natural or, you know, and all of these things, which for some of it were these Eurocentric beauty ideals that I had ingested as sort of my gateway to be able to minister to and minister with certain groups of people. And the truth is that I had to leave some of myself behind to feel like I was comfortable showing up in a particular space. There was a part of me that I had to forsake to feel like I was going to be comfortable in a particular space or accepted in a particular space. And how often do we do that? Maybe it's not your hair. Maybe it's not your Blackness. Maybe if you're not Black, maybe it could be anything. The way we speak, the things that we do, all of these things with the intention of wanting to be accepted or being palpable or palatable for other people. But here's the thing. God made you the way he made you. And he didn't just Mr. Potato Headed and throw some pieces together and be like, "Yeah, that's fine." Like, he picked out every single aspect of who you are. So anytime I step in a place and I deny some of that, I deny some of him. And yeah, like we're talking hair, which isn't that big of a deal. I may have these locks for a little while and I may shave my head in a week. But one of the things that I really am committed to now is showing up as authentically myself and being confident in the fact that whatever God has placed on the inside of me is enough. For the places that he's graced me to go, for the people that he's graced me to be able to minister to and with, like he has been intentional about that. And a lot of times I get the opportunity to teach in multicultural worship spaces. Sometimes we're talking about diversity, sometimes we're not. Sometimes we're talking about all kinds of things. But one of the things I talk about, and I use a tennis shoe analogy. So I say, if somebody joins your church or somebody joins your friend group or joins your circle and they walk in with Jordans on, And then within 2 months, everybody's all wearing whatever, Converse. That person has decided that to be a part of what you have going on, they have to leave a part of them behind. And I think that's shameful in two ways. Shameful on us for making people feel like they have to change to be a part of what we have going on. But then shame on you, shame on us for changing. There's dual shame. Shame on the group of people for making someone feel like whatever they walked in as, whoever they walked in and as was not enough. But shame on us for not knowing inside of ourselves that we are. And so for me, the hair has almost been like a symbolism. It's almost like a wedding ring for me. Like a wedding ring doesn't make you any more married than not having a wedding ring. But it symbolizes an internal posture, an internal decision, a commitment that you've made. And for me, locking my hair, wearing my hair in locks and wearing my hair in a natural state or whatever you want to call it, that for me is a symbol of the commitment that I've made to be true to whatever God has placed on the inside of me. And if that means there are some places that don't really care for it, that's okay. That's not my place. There's nothing wrong with that. But there are places that God has called me to that are waiting on me to show up as myself. And the same thing is true for you. There are places that are waiting on you to show up as you. What if God whispered in their ear certain parts of your nature, certain parts of your character for them to look out for? And then you show up as somebody else. You put your KCJ and you pull it up out of your suitcase and you put it on and somebody's looking for the person who is super confident, the person who's really funny, and you dial all of that down for the benefit or what you think is the benefit of somebody else. But who loses? You lose for not being yourself. The places that you show up to, they lose for not getting the entirety of who you are. And God's craftsmanship, his handiwork is lost in whoever we're pretending to be. It's lost in whatever facade we have to put on, whatever part of ourselves that we dial back for a fear that it'll shine too brightly on somebody. His work is lost in that. And so I don't know what that means for you sometimes. Like the hair for me was a big deal. Now, wait, before we get into this thing, one of the things I did once we decided, like for this record, that we were going to do, I was going to just have my locked hair. We were going to be out there. I wanted to look like whatever that image of myself was. And so like, it was a big deal to go and take pictures and have my hair locked. We haven't had a formal funeral for the wigs because I'm not really sure what you're supposed to do with wigs you don't wear anymore. They're expensive. So I like feel weird about just throwing them in the trash can. I feel like it's just money just going into the trash. But even that, like, I realized that it costs a lot not to be yourself. It costs. It may not hit your pocket, but it may hit your spirit. It may hit a part of you that is no longer able to shine or grow or thrive because you haven't showed up as fully yourself. And so, man, this is a challenge. It's a challenge for me all the time. And it's a challenge for you, whoever God has called you to be, whatever idiosyncrasies, whatever parts of yourself, however small, however big, show up as yourself. Am I anti-wigs or anti-makeup? Clearly not, honey. These lashes did not grow out of here. I love all of those things. But to the point that they stop you from being you, then it's a time to reevaluate. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of those things, but to the point that it stops and hides the handiwork of God in your life, it's a time to reevaluate. Your story, yours is worthy. Your story is valuable. Your story is enough. There is enough God in your story for people to see. There is. So that little voice is telling you, oh, don't do that. I don't think they'll like it. This proverbial they that floats around haunting all of us that never exists. It's just a they that we think is like over in the corner making decisions about us and judgments. Most of the day is us talking to us about us, right? Well, that little voice that tells you that, hey, don't show up as completely yourself. Dial that back. Don't do that. Don't do that. We're missing out. I'm missing out. I want to see you. I want to know you. There's a place that God has called you to where you have to show up as fully yourself. And whatever it costs to do that, that cost is worth it. The cost of hiding, the cost of faking, the cost of putting on for somebody who may not like you or may not know you, that cost is too much. The cost that it may cost you to show up as yourself, that one is worth it. And so scripture talks about it. It says, which man, when he's building a house, does not sit down and count up the cost? And so that's what I challenge you with today. Count the cost. What is it costing you not to show up as yourself? What is it costing you to put on that mask? What is it costing you to put that KCJ on and put it on your head and then only when it's safe to take it off? What is that costing you? And is it worth it? Count the cost. Man, I appreciate you kind of listening to this story. I appreciate you hearing me out. Like I said, this is a vulnerable journey for all of us, for me on this side and for you sometimes as a listener, but I believe that God is in it. So until next time, I'll see you at So Here's a Story podcast. Thank you for listening to this episode of So Here's the Story podcast. It's our prayer that something that was said reminds you of the good and the God in your own story. If you heard something that maybe you want to share with a friend, do share it. Share this story with everyone that you know, everyone that you love, especially those that can be impacted by hearing a good God story in their own life. In fact, we love to hear your story. So leave us a comment. If you're listening to this on Spotify or if you're listening to it on Anchor, you can even leave us a voicemail. And maybe on the next episode, we'll hear your story. Until then, please follow us so you'll know the next time we're posting the next episode of So Here's the Story podcast. See you soon.